Election politics are picking up steam in Kansas amidst an unusual amount of turmoil this year. The state budget remains millions in the red, and Governor Sam Brownback is looking for ways to make even more cuts. Meantime, the governor and legislature are involved in the early stages of what appears to be a game of chicken with the state Supreme Court over school funding. The court saying, make some changes in your school finance formula or we'll shut down the schools. The governor saying, don't try it. If you do, more litigation will follow. It's against this backdrop that every seat in the state legislature is up for grabs this year. So what are the parties doing to win? And can Democrats finally pull themselves out of a Kansas City Royals-like slump and turn around their fortunes? With us to kick it around are Kansas State Senator Anthony Hensley. He's a Democrat from Topeka. He's the Senate Minority Leader and has served in the legislature longer than anybody in state history. Senator Hensley, always good to have you. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be on.
Professor Michael Smith also joins us. He's a political scientist at Emporia State University. And Professor Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
We'll be joined by a Republican candidate for the state Senate in just a little bit. But Senator Hensley, let me just begin with the breaking news this morning. You just heard Kyle Palmer announce that the governor is going to call now a special session. A date for the launch of that session hasn't been announced yet. What's your reaction? How surprised are you?
Well, I don't know as I'm surprised. Yesterday, the Senate Democratic and House Democratic leadership announced that we were going to start a petition drive. The Kansas Constitution allows, in the absence of the governor calling the special session, for two-thirds of both houses to do so by petition. And I believe that based upon that announcement, the governor has made a very wise choice to call a special session, exercising his constitutional power to do so. The other thing that I've heard here just this morning is that the plan will be to call the special session on June the 22nd. When we announced our petition drive, we were proposing that it be called on June 20th, which would be a Monday, but I've been hearing here in the State House that the governor's call for the special session will be on Wednesday, June the 22nd. So,
well, that gives
that would add to the news. As you said, the date really wasn't has not been determined, but this is what I'm hearing from people here in the State House, that the date. And then, of course, there's no requirement in terms of an adjournment date, but I'm hopeful that we can confine the session to the equity order from the Gannon case, mm-hmm. as opposed to opening up, you know, a whole host of other issues.
Well, Senator Hensley, this strikes me as giving lawmakers precious little time to deal with an issue that potentially could prove to be enormously complicated here, the deadline being June 30, or the potential remains for schools to close. Is this enough time for you guys to get your work done?
I believe it is. I mean, I think we could accomplish doing the right thing on the Gannon case within a 2 or 3 day period would be my expectation. But it's going to take a bipartisan effort to be able to do that. There'll be a lot of.
And why is that? Because Republicans control the legislature, Senator.
Well, there'll be a lot of Republican legislators who I think will take the position of defying the court order and setting up a constitutional crisis. I mean, I've heard that from a number of different sources. They believe that as always, the court has overstepped its bounds. The court has actually now done on 3 different occasions declaring that our school finance system is unconstitutional and needs to be fixed. And the governor, even in his own news release, pointed out that we're really talking about 1% of the total funding. But I think it's very important that we deal with that 1%. It's about $38 million. It'd be almost another $12 million if you actually hold school districts harmless, mm-hmm. Particularly districts in the Johnson County area. But, you know, they have told us that we have to have an equitable school finance system, and that's what that $38 million is all about, because that money would then go to equalizing the local option budget in poor school districts,
right.
typically urban school districts, although there are a lot of rural school districts that stand to, you know, have more equity as well.
Professor Michael Smith, let me bring you into our conversation here. This call by the governor for a special session seems to end a mini-drama as to whether he was going to call one or not. There was some speculation that he just might let the thing ride and then have the state careen into a constitutional crisis going forward because he opposes the court's ability to order lawmakers around in the way that it appears to be doing. Does this development tend to suggest to you that the schools, in fact, will not be closed come July 1st?
Well, I don't know. It suggests that the governor hasn't given up. But the problem is that the legislature has already tried limited fixes involving moving money around within the existing block grant that they passed last year, and the court rejected that. They're looking for a deeper structural solution, which I don't think the legislators want to do before the election. And so the legislature wants to buy time to get through the election. And also there's a big push to turn some justices out on the retention elections this fall. And the court has been quite adamant about not accepting sort of short-term, fix-it-for-now type solutions. So I think we're still at an impasse.
Okay, again, we're going to move on here from the breaking news this morning. Governor Sam Brownback now calling a special session of the legislature. Senator Anthony Hensley, the Senate Minority Leader, who's with us this morning, thinks that session will begin on June 22nd, just about a week before the deadline for meeting the court mandate in the Gannon case and maybe stave off a closing of schools across the state. Okay, let's move on to our main topic here today, Senator, and I'll begin with you again. A lot of people around Kansas know that the Democratic Party isn't very strong right now. Given all the controversy in Topeka these days, including the schools that we're talking about, I don't think it's a stretch to say that if Democrats can't pick up seats this year, when will they ever pick them up? Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair assessment. We fortunately have been able to recruit candidates in all 40 Senate districts. That includes the 8 incumbents. An additional 32 challengers have decided to run this year, and that's the first time that on the Senate side that's been accomplished since 1988.
So three decades roughly, yeah.
That's right. And we spent a lot of time. It's a very arduous task to, try to recruit people to run for the Senate. We put a lot of windshield time in traveling across the state, and we were successful in being able to field a complete ticket. And we have some very good candidates, and we have some very good opportunities out there, I believe, to pick up some seats. We've had in two different districts, we've had Republicans actually switch parties to run for the Senate. But we've got a really first-class group of candidates. We're actually going to have a training session with them tomorrow here in Topeka to try to set up their campaign plan. Obviously, it takes fundraising, and just to try to give them some pointers in terms of what the issues are and what they should really, expect to do in running a campaign. This year, like none other that I've ever seen, I believe that this will be a referendum on the incumbent governor, Sam Brownback, and on those legislators who have essentially rubber-stamped his agenda. It's a very unpopular agenda. In fact, the governor himself is now rated as the most unpopular governor in America. So our strategy is pretty simple going into the election. We just want to remind people that Sam Brownback's agenda has basically failed, and there are people who have supported him in that. And, that sets the stage, I think, for the referendum on Sam Brownback's record for the 2016 elections.
Michael Smith from Emporia State again. What about this idea that if Democrats can't win this year, will they ever? Does that make sense to you as well?
It does make sense to me. Now, in the long term, that might not be true, in that this millennial generation is one of the most liberal maybe ever in American history. And as they become a bigger and bigger chunk of the electorate, I think things will shift. But Kansas is an older state compared to many others, and that shift will take many, many years. So in the short term, I think you're right on.
You know, Senator Hensley, you mentioned just a minute ago that 2016 will be more than ever a referendum on Governor Sam Brownback and his policies during his, 6 years in office so far. Arguably, you guys made the 2014 statewide elections a referendum on Governor Brownback, and things didn't work out very well for Democrats. Why are you so sure that 2016 will be different this time? Senator Hensley.
Well, you know, since the reelection of Sam Brownback in 2014, we've seen a number of problems that have resulted from, number one, his tax policy that passed 4 years ago. We've had these massive state budget shortfalls. They had to resort to the largest tax increase last year by raising the sales tax. We've seen increased residential property taxes. We've seen this unconstitutional school finance bill that passed, first Senate Bill 7, which was the block grant bill, and then this latest one, House Bill 2655, which the court again declared as unconstitutional. And then we've seen ongoing raids to the highway fund, mm-hmm. through the Kansas Department of Transportation. We've seen slashed funding for poor children and Medicaid recipients. The governor refuses to expand Medicaid, which is putting rural hospitals at risk, for keeping their doors open. And it leaves 150,000 Kansans without any sort of health insurance. And then just overall, in terms of the economy, we've seen really no new job growth as compared to not only states in the region, but across the entire country. Mm-hmm. So this is a record. This is a record that has now evolved over the past couple of years. And as I said earlier, the governor is now ranked the most unpopular governor in America. And so that's an issue that I think will be very important as we engage in the campaigns during the 2016 elections.
Professor Smith, given all that, the state of Kansas remains one of the reddest states in the country, one of the most Republican states in the country. Is Governor Brownback's record really going to result in Democrats sweeping into office here?
I don't know. I think the Democrats' task, in addition to what the senator mentioned, recruiting more candidates.
Which is an important first step.
Critical. I think their next task is to revive a politics from earlier days, all the way through the late 20th century and into the 21st, when Democrats could do well sometimes in Kansas and also in some other states that tended to vote Republican in presidential elections by running their own campaign and separating themselves from the national party. Kathleen Sebelius didn't link herself, for example, to John Kerry when he was running for president in 2004. She did her own thing. She ran her own campaign, and Kansas voters were fine with splitting their ticket between Kathleen Sebelius and George W. Bush, not in the same year, but just in principle. And that has gone away in the Obama era, and now Republicans have really moved toward just the straight party ticket. The challenge for Senator Hensley and his colleagues is, can Kansas go back to the days of where voters were comfortable voting in national elections? Now, I don't know about Donald Trump, but certainly when it comes to, say, Senator Moran, who I think will be reelected easily, are they comfortable splitting their ticket between him at the national level and then Democrats at the state and local level?
I was going to say, Senator Moran is running for reelection. No Democrat of note really challenging him this time around. Professor Smith, you're from Emporia, Republican part of the state. How much unrest are you sensing down in your neck of the woods there?
There is some. I don't know that Senator Moran would be the target, but Emporia has shown itself to be one of the more purple regions of Kansas. For example, Paul Davis won Lyon County, against Sam Brown back. But on the other hand, Lyon County also voted for Chris Kobach and Tim Huell's camp in the same election. So this is a great place to watch competitiveness. Senator Longbine, who has in the past been pretty safe, has picked up a pretty aggressive Democratic challenger. And both of the members of the state legislature, including Peggy Mast, who is a leader in the Republican Party in the legislature, are not running for reelection.
So you are seeing signs, Professor, that there's enough unrest there to spur Democrats into these races and give this thing a shot.
The Democrats are pretty well organized in Lyon County, and they are putting candidates in races that didn't used to be considered competitive.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking today about the Kansas elections this year. What do Democrats and Republicans have to do to win seats? The Republicans maintain their majorities. Democrats make some inroads into a legislature that's been dominated by Republicans for any number of years. Senator Hensley, you said just a few minutes ago that you guys have done so well when it comes to candidate recruitment. What other aspect of any election and gearing up for any election is getting your own supporters to turn out? I can't help but notice a couple of years ago, again, when Governor Brownback was up for reelection, the turnout around the state clocked in at barely more than 50%. In Democratic-heavy Wyandotte County here in the Kansas City area, it was just 35%, one of the strongest Democratic strongholds in the state, the lowest turnout almost anywhere in the state. It was 51% in Johnson County. If people were so upset then, why didn't more people turn out, and how are you going to change that this time?
Well, of course, 2016 is a presidential election year, and historically there's been a much larger turnout across the state in a presidential election year. And as I said, I mean, since 2014, there have been so many problems with the Brownback agenda that I think the tide is turning in terms of how people feel about his leadership. And so I'm hoping that the voters have now realized that he's basically out of touch with their, you know, mainstream values. Going back to the response from the professor earlier, in the 40 years that I've been in the legislature, I've served with 20 years with a Democratic governor and 20 years with a Republican governor, four each, four Democrats and four Republicans. And so it's a clear indication that at the state level, Republicans and unaffiliated voters will vote for Democrats if they're given, you know, a good alternative candidate. And that's where we go back to the effort that we put into prior to the filing deadline to make sure that we had good candidates that people can vote for.
Senator, you might want to grab a glass of water there, but does the Democratic Party have any special strategy in place to gin up turnout this time compared to what you did in 2014?
Yes, we do. I think we'll have a much better opportunity this time to get voter turnout. And as I say, a lot of it stems from the fact that it is a presidential election year. There are some voters that vote only in presidential election years. But I know locally here within the Shawnee County area, we're already starting at the local level to, number one, register people to vote. That's the first step. And then number two is to advance vote people. It's much easier these days now to advance vote.
Yeah.
And then certainly on election day to get them to the polls.
This hour we're talking about the tactics that Republicans and Democrats in Kansas will employ to win legislative seats this year in Topeka amidst all this controversy and tumult over school financing, over the state budget. We're visiting with Kansas State Senator Anthony Hensley, a Democrat from Topeka, the Senate Minority Leader who served in the legislature longer than anybody in state history. Also, Professor Michael Smith, a political scientist at Emporia State. We're asking our listeners, if you're a Republican in Kansas, is there any way you'd vote for a Democratic candidate for the state legislature this year? Have things gotten that bad for you or not? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. I want to bring Ed Berger into our conversation. He's a Republican running for the state Senate in the 34th District, which is an area that includes Hutchinson out in the middle of the state. Ed's running in the August primary against a veteran lawmaker, Terry Bruce, who happens to be the Senate Majority Leader. Ed Berger is a former president of the Hutchinson Community College. He's seen as a moderate. Terry Bruce is seen as more of a conservative. Ed Berger, thank you for taking some time. Good morning.
Well, thank you for including me in the discussion.
Why are you making this race, Ed? Why did you want to run for state office?
Well, I wanted to run for state office simply because I had significant concerns about the state of Kansas and the direction it was going. I had concerns about the fiscal condition of the state and how that is really cascading through all of our institutions, be it K-12, be it our infrastructure of our highways, be it our Regents universities. And that was basically the driving force behind me choosing to run for the state Senate position.
And Ed, you're so upset that you're willing to run in a primary against a man who happens to be the Senate Majority Leader. That's kind of a heavy lift, isn't it?
Well, it is a heavy lift, but again, I think it's something that is important to do. I think it's important for a person that has an interest and wants to make change to step out and take that lead. I believe that sitting back and letting things go just because they've been that way forever isn't logical and isn't a course of action that I would choose to take.
What's bothered you most about Governor Brownback's policies? Any one single thing that's really stood out for you, Ed?
I think the tax cut, two things. The tax cut certainly that affected about 330,000 individuals, but also on top of that, the largest tax increase in history with the sales tax increase and the hidden tax increases as well. For instance, the medical deduction that was eliminated. And then, of course, even with that very large tax increase, it wasn't enough to hit the bottom line. So now you have highway funds being raided you have deferments of payments to the Kansas Public Employment Retirement System. Those are some of the issues that I think are really significant and should be a concern to all Kansans.
Ed, as you look around the state, how often are you seeing moderate Republicans like yourself taking on conservative Republicans in August primaries? How unusual is this, or is it not that unusual?
I'm not sure it's that unusual. I think it's just a matter of, concern on the part of a lot of Kansans, this direction the state's going, and I think that's why you're seeing that kind of action take place.
What do you think the Republican brand stands for these days? I mean, is that a question with an answer that remains something in flux these days, Ed?
Well, I think the Republican brand today stands for conservatism, certainly, and I'm a fiscal conservative, and I'm also a social conservative, so I'm not sure I'm very far from those stances. But I think it also, Republicans, to me, have always stood for responsibility and responsible actions, and by being responsible, I mean meeting the budget requirements of a state like Kansas. Being responsible means keeping state tentacles out of local government issues, means the less government, the better.
Professor Michael Smith,
and the
again.
The best government being the local government.
All right. Professor Michael Smith, again, a political scientist at Emporia State. Are you seeing the brand, the Republican brand, is that something that you view as being in flux these days, given the split in the party between conservatives and moderates?
I think it is. I think that one thing we're going to see this fall at the top of the ticket is that Republicans will not so much run with Donald Trump as run against Hillary Clinton. So they're going to play that old card of instead of selling our party, we're going to tell you how bad the other party is. But beneath those campaign tactics, I think you're totally right, Steve, there is this sense that there's really a fundamental question right now about what it means to be a Republican. Donald Trump, for example, takes very, very different stance on a number of issues from what would usually be called conservative.
Let me get our listeners involved here again. If you're a Republican in Kansas, is there any way you'd vote for a Democratic candidate for the state legislature this year? Have things gotten that bad for you or not? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Clint from Baldwin City, you're on Up to Date, Clint.
Yes, thank you. Real quick, and even just an opinion, if, wondered for many years if general elections, if Democrats turned out more so for general elections than Republicans turned out for general elections. What's the bigger turnout between the parties?
Senator Hensley grabbed that for us.
Well, I think it just depends upon the election, obviously. I mean, there have been some elections. I look back to the 08 election when President Obama was first running. There was a tremendous turnout in Kansas, really, in the Democratic Party. And I'm hoping that this time around we will be able to increase the turnout for Democrats. And, you know, the interesting discussion I find here, when you look at the Republican brand, Steve, as you called it,
mm-hmm.
Republican brand in the Kansas legislature right now is far more conservative than it's ever been before. Governor Brownback went out of his way in 2012 to defeat, you know, as many as a dozen Republican senators who were moderate Republicans. And prior to that, we had a very strong bipartisan coalition working on issues,
mm-hmm.
and that coalition now is gone. I'm hopeful that when the dust settles after the general election, that we'll have more moderate Republicans and Democrats who will make up a majority in the Kansas Senate. Ed Berger is running against the majority leader of the Senate, who in the last session sent out a memo to his members saying, don't use the word bipartisan or don't use the word common sense or accountability. This is a memo that basically was a political statement as to what they should do. Don't talk about expanding Medicaid, because it's the antithesis, I think is what he's called it,
yeah.
of what Republicans stand for. And I got to believe that there are many more reasonable Republicans out there that don't reflect the attitude that Terry Bruce has in terms of governing in Topeka.
Now, we were talking a few minutes ago, Ed, about the level of unrest down in Emporia and what Senator Hensley has seen in Topeka. I'm wondering, out in Hutchinson, what you're seeing when it comes to just the level of unrest that citizens out there have with state government and the direction of state government these days.
Well, I think there's a lot of, I don't call it unrest, what you might want to call it, I think an issue is a lot of concern about what's been going on and the need for change, and the need for change into a system that is perhaps more collaborative, more collaborative than what it currently exists, not adversarial. I think that's what government should be based on, working together, having diverse ideas and opinions, and trying to, through that diversity, come out with a better solution. I think the more and the different kinds of ideas that are out there, you always have better solutions. So I think that's what you're seeing a lot of, and it's kind of like, you know, throw the rascals out, hearing a lot of that.
So, Ed, the idea of the word bipartisanship, that's not a bad word to you.
No, it's not a bad word to me at all. I think collegiality is something that is a good word to me, and I think that's something that could be fostered through work among and between all elements of not only the Republican Party but also Democratic Party.
Ed, I'm wondering about what hidden obstacles will be there for you in this race. I'm thinking most specifically about, you know, late July, early August, a big influx of Koch money or anti-abortion money flowing into the race to back your rival at a pivotal point in the election. We've seen that over and over again in recent Kansas political history. What do you brace for here?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I'm a complete novice at this. You know, I'm the ultimate outsider, and certainly someone who is not a career politician. And so I have no idea what to expect or what approach will be used. That's just something that's out there, and you deal with it when it happens.
Professor Smith, should Ed Berger be braced for something like that?
That's a good question. I would imagine that things would get, pretty seriously competitive. But on the other hand, legislative leaders are a little wobbly right now. As I mentioned, Peggy Mass, the pro tem on the House side, isn't even running for reelection. So it's kind of an unknown.
Anthony Hensley, do you think Ed Berger should be braced for something like that?
Well, unfortunately, we have seen those last-minute expenditures and mailings that, you know, hit a week or two before the election, and I don't see that there will be any change in that. I would expect that there'll be tremendous amount of money spent to promote Sam Brownback's radical, you know, agenda, his reckless agenda, and Terry Bruce is one who obviously has pushed for that agenda, and so I'm sure there'll be forces that will try to protect Terry Bruce and make sure that he wins the primary, and we expect the same thing in the general. But as long as you're talking about, you know, your values and how you see the direction of this state going, and as badly as it's going, I think it will resonate with the voters this time. I truly believe that there is a discontent out there, as I said earlier, I've never seen before, with an incumbent governor. Granted, he got reelected, but in the past 2 years, there have been so many things happen on a negative level that anybody that's going to associate themselves with Sam Brownback, I think, is going to have a very difficult time winning either a primary or a general election.
You know, Senator Hensley, we've talked about, I have a minute left here, we've talked about recruitment and what you've done on that front. We've talked about improving voter turnout. How about campaign dollars and support that Democrats in Kansas might get or might not get from the National Democratic Party? Do you expect much help along that lines to help push you over the hump here?
We do not necessarily expect that from the National Democratic Party. We are pretty much on our own here in Kansas, and that's really my next effort, is to turn towards raising money. We've done a pretty good job of that already, but we've got a long way to go. And what we're very pleased about is the fact that four of our incumbents don't have any opposition. You know, I joke with the idea that I'm currently the front runner for Senate president, 4-0, you know, and those incumbents don't have opposition. So that's going to allow us to put our resources much more with the challengers who are challenging, you know, the conservative incumbents that make up the Senate Republican caucus. And so with that, and then we will have some challengers who have raised money. I take, for example, Len Rogers, who's a Republican-turned Democrat running in the 25th district down in Wichita. Len has raised upwards of $60,000 for his campaign. So we've got some people that are doing a really good job of raising money for their own campaigns.
We're going to have to leave our conversation there. It'll be fascinating to watch all this play out as the 2016 election unfolds. That was the voice of Kansas State Senator Anthony Hensley. He's the Senate Minority Leader. Senator, always appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Professor Michael Smith also joined us. He's a political scientist at Emporia State. Professor, thank you.
Glad to be here.
Ed Berger joined us from the Hutchinson area, former president of the community college out there in a tough primary race out in the 34th district. Ed Berger, good luck to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.